One of the recurring issues in the early church was the problem of legalism. The Jewish roots of the Christian faith had, in some respects, become more rigid when applied by certain religious leaders of the Jews. This added a layer of legalism, which was in addition to the already strict rules and laws of the Old Testament. And that created difficulties as the new Christian faith spread to new regions and ethnic groups. A key issue was whether new converts had to bring with them these legalisms and perhaps even become Jews before they could be considered Christians. This issue comes to us time and again in the New Testament, and sometimes compromises were made that to many Christians today seem kind of pointless and needless. We hardly consider these issues, such as the kosher laws and ritual contamination. We hardly consider them even worth mentioning, and some of them are in the Old Testament. While I am not advocating a return to such rules, treating Scripture with the respect it is due means to study and understand at least the Old Testament rules, and also see how the contention between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians brought sometimes overly strict legalisms into the church, as well as reactions to legalisms in overly permissive ways, as we have seen and will continue to see in the New Testament letters. We can also better understand some of Jesus' reactions to such rules in his earthly ministry. But these are not just issues from the past, but they have parallels today in both very strict religious groups and permissive denominations and congregations. We have here another strand of the rope that requires balance, and we can better comprehend how to achieve a biblical balance by seeing how the early church struggled repeatedly to achieve such a balance. As Paul, still called Saul in the biblical record, leads the way on this first missionary journey, he faced these tensions in individual churches and sometimes the church as a whole. We can gain an appreciation for what he faced, as well as the struggles with legalisms by Jesus, by reading a book called The Mishnah. I am not recommending it as Sunday school services or a basis for classes in the church, but the many rules and laws that came from debates by the leaders of the Jewish faith may give us a new respect for how hard they worked to be approved by God, at least as defined by their leaders. And it is in this context that Paul writes what is apparently his first letter, written to the churches in a geographical area called Galatia, located in the middle of what today is Turkey, extending from the southern to northern regions of that area. The letter is known as Galatians, and we are now approaching the likely time in Acts when Paul wrote this letter. It is a bit precarious to assign a date for the book of Galatians, and like most of Paul's letters, there is considerable disagreement among biblical scholars regarding the time of its writing. Could Paul have written the book even before embarking upon the first missionary journey? With the conversion of the Roman military officer Cornelius, that sparks a beginning. The sparks were beginning to fly in the early church. The ethnic barriers being broken in Antioch, recorded in Acts chapter 11, added to what was becoming a firestorm, and thus Paul may have entered the foray with his letter. Brian Simmons, the initial translator of the Passion Translation, argues for an early writing of Galatians, well before chapter 12 of Acts, and possibly even predating the book of James. Others who have studied this matter, which may be related to which area of Galatia Paul was addressing, suggest a date of composition closer to the Jerusalem Council, where the legalisms were debated and a compromise was achieved. That's in Acts 15. The compromise didn't last very long, and to many of us today it sounds archaic. While I do not advocate a return to legalisms, or even the compromise the Jerusalem Council decided upon, I must also emphasize what has been lost by the relative absence of Jewish Christians in many churches today. We do not comprehend some of the statements and actions of Jesus because Jesus was Jewish, or a Hebrew in Old Testament language. There is much that we miss in the letters of Paul and others in the New Testament, as well as Revelation, because we do not have many church members with a Jewish background. Of course, we lack the input of Jewish-Hebrew views of the Old Testament and its developing theology that powerfully influences the theology of the church today. And we fail to comprehend the massive damage done to Jewish people by misguided and sinful prejudice towards these people of God throughout the centuries since the time that Christianity was Jewish, or more Jewish than it was even at this point in Acts. Fortunately, there are books by Jewish Christians that help bridge that gap today. But I have personally witnessed the value of both Christian Jews and non-Christian Jews in a church setting, as well as similar mixing in the synagogue. Thus, I encourage you to keep an open mind and open heart to the conflicts we see in the early church related to legalisms that are connected to Jewish law, and to take a posture of learning and understanding both the differences then and those today between Jews and Christians. If that's too much for an initial step, then perhaps we can learn from Christians with a Jewish background who can really contribute much to our learning. Perhaps we can see this as another pair of strands in our rope analogy. I personally think that's what God had in mind, for the Jews and the Christians to learn from one another. With this background, we will take a break from Acts and study Paul's letter of Galatians, which may well date to this point in Acts, if not a few years earlier, and possibly a bit later. This is Brother Don.